My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Adaptation Decay, the Patreon bonus show where you look at how video games are adapted into other media.
Yeah, and it's a ho-ho Christmas special for the holiday.
Ho-hos.
Yeah. Man, I would kill for a ho-ho right now.
When you eat a ho-ho, did you ever do any of the kid surgery you do on a ho-ho? Like when you unwrap it from its plastic chocolate condom, so, or you unroll it like a...
Yeah. So that, I mean, the last time I ate a ho-ho was when it was like packed in a lunch in like high school, probably. But, you can do the surgery. Like you can take the layer of chocolate off on a Little Debbie Swiss cake roll. Actual Hostess brand ho-ho, which we very rarely got because the Little Debbies were cheaper.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting them confused.
Yeah. I mean, they're basic. It's the same basic cake.
Same basic cake, Homer.
Yeah. The covering on a ho-ho is waxy enough that it breaks if you try to do that. Whereas a Swiss cake roll, the chocolate was always so loosely affixed that you could take the thin layer off, and then you could unroll it. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved doing that on Nutter Butter.
Oh, yeah. No.
Instead of having a single Nutter Butter treat, I would have four worse Nutter Butters and make the night last all night long.
Yeah, I do that with Kit Kats. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kit Kat is that's a time. Mm-hmm. Or the mouth extraction you can do of the peanut in a peanut M&M.
Yep. No, I still do that.
That's still a little game you can do with your candy.
Yeah, the peanut M&M is like the, I mean, other than my beloved root beer candies, that is the like the candy that I allow myself to have sometimes. You know, there's a peanut in there. It's basically a vegetable.
There's protein.
Yeah. But I never just chomp them. I always split them.
When I first became an adult and could just buy my own shit, buy myself string cheese, which felt like a rare treat as a kid. And then I didn't realize it was like just this cheap thing you could buy at the store.
It's a cheap thing you could buy. And if like you buy it in such quantities that you never eat all of it before it goes bad and gets all weird.
$3.79 for 18 sticks. And I was like, I'll just take a bite out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are no rules. It's way worse that way.
Oh yeah, it doesn't taste good. No, you have to take them off. There's something about the surface area. I think that it warms up enough in the ambient air that it like unlocks the flavor. If you just take a bite out of it, it tastes like you're eating a candle.
Well, you also you get more of the inside of the thing, because much like a Swiss cake roll, I was bringing this back.
Yeah.
It feels like it has this waxy coating to it, and the inside of it is like real cheese.
Yeah.
So if you're pulling off the strings, you're getting a string that is almost all inside bit, versus just taking a bite, which your tongue is touching like entirely the waxy outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
It's mouths are fucking stupid. If someone was watching us, like, you know, some alien, you know, this is a tired observation, but just watching us do these dumb little surgeries on our food, I think that they would have an immense amount of contempt.
Oh, absolutely. Why is this young man separating his Skittles by color? Well, therapists will struggle to answer that for years, but also maybe he's just bored.
Yeah. Just like, I want to slow this down a little bit. It's basically those little like mouth games you give dogs to make them eat slower. Like, here's a mouth maze you have to go through. It's basically our equivalent of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anywho, we're talking about Christmas shit.
Yeah, no, just speaking of not doing the chomp, this is a pack and poke Christmas, baby.
Yeah, two things we've already done. Both of which I think are so thoroughly themselves that we have now exhausted the video property for both of these things.
Probably.
This Pac-Man episode has the same basic jokes as the last one, except it's just twice as long.
Yep.
I think we go to jail if we do any more Pac-Land. Pac-Land's gotta go.
We've not really done the Pokemon anime proper. We've only done subsidiary properties, right?
Yeah.
You know, so like maybe in a long time, but this is short and slight enough that it's fun to add on as a ringer. But we're doing Christmas Comes to Pac-Land, and then we're going to have like a little Grace Note and a Moose Boosh Stantler's little helpers, the 1999 Pokemon Christmas special.
There's a little a 10-minute like 7-minute really, like it's weirdly like half credits, but like 7-minute Pokemon like baby story, Ponyo style baby story, that is cute, but also just it's really itself.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah.
And you remember Pac-Land. You know, Pac-Man, this thing, this horrible nightmare. Mm-hmm. Hanna-Barbera's litigious lawyers mean that if you want to watch this, you Google it, and it gives you the VR experience of watching it in a McMansion, because it projects it on somebody's big convex TV in their weird Hall of Presidents, or wherever this is.
Yeah, it's really funny. That little trick where it's a frame within a frame, so it doesn't get picked up by auto detectors, right? And I think maybe they did something to the audio or whatever. It's very funny because, you know, this is a half hour video, but this special, because of commercials, it was only 22 minutes long. So like the last third of this is just that usual nightmare kids YouTube thing where it's just it's just decals of different Marvel superheroes moving around while horrifying noises play.
Yeah, Elsa's getting pregnant by the Joker.
Yep.
That kind of thing. It's real weird.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's only 22 minutes in real life, because this is this is a repetitive cartoon, Cole.
It is. It really, really is.
Now, are the ghosts for chomp? Like, what is the stance on chomping?
I think
this cartoon has, because it's I need to hear it another dozen or two dozen times to know if chomping is desirable or not.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any more blood left in that stone, Gary. So I think chomping is what you need to do. It is the most profound act of violence that you can do to somebody. But I mean, Pac-Man gets chomped in this, which is a huge deal. I mean, people were anticipating this for years. You know, it's like when Sam and Dan finally kissed, right?
Hold up. So if chomping is the most profound, because there are tons of cosmological. The actual plot of this, ghosts say they want to chomp, and then Santa comes and teaches everybody about Christmas.
Uh-huh.
There's really no plot to this fucking thing. But the cosmological questions are really out there.
Yes.
If chomping is the most profound thing you can do and you can survive, that begs the question, can you be murdered in Pac-Land? Can you die and never come back? Like, what is it like to go to sleep and never wake up in Pac-Land?
So and also, I think that I think that every pack creature is just a vehicle for the eyes, right?
Yeah.
So in this, we may have learned this, and you know, it may have been revealed in other episodes, but in this, the ghosts get chomped. And, you know, like in the game, their eyes fly back to the little home base where they put on a new suit. Like the actual body of these ghost monsters is just it's like a cloth. It's like the little clan robes. Right. And
more ways than one.
Yeah. Which which we learn because like the dumb one puts on one of the socks. It was like, hey, stop messing around. Yeah. Put on your actual suit or whatever. I think that those ghost monsters, those are just the eyes of really bad people who died. And the good eyes go somewhere else.
When you chomp them, it's like taking all of the corn off a cob.
Yes.
You know, or like in a cartoon when a cat would dip a fish into its mouth and pull out a skeleton.
Right.
They're just the skeletons.
And when they, you know, maybe it's just because of their chomping is diminished, because when they chomp Pac-Man, it's just kind of like he gets the flu for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. he has a bad reaction to the chomp, but it's not, you know, any worse than it's feeling kind of crummy
like,
for a little bit.
It's like me if I eat something that has black walnuts in it.
Yeah, I just like, I don't feel so, that flounder isn't sitting right. That whaler sandwich just is feeling a little weird. Yeah, it's a weird cartoon. I want to know way more about the pack cat. We'll get into it.
Sourpuss.
I love Sourpuss. So this originally aired primetime on ABC in December of 1982, making a lot of parents watch a really horrible cartoon for
fucking
the kids.
Wild that it was primetime.
Yeah, man. Must see TV. And it's Hanna-Barbera. Mm-hmm. We talked about this in 2020.
Yep.
The series, so fairly recently, but you know,
it's Christmas. Yeah.
It's about Pac-Man and his wife and his kids and his pets hanging out and then getting into like sitcom shtick. We recently recorded Abject Suffering about this, but everything had to be like the Flintstones for some reason.
Right.
He's like, hey, I'm like this, I'm a working class guy. what's his job? Who fucking knows? But he has to have that voice or people cannot relate to it.
Yes. Yes. This has like the one Christmas plot that there is allowed to be, and it's baffling that both of the things we're doing have the exact same plot, which is Santa crash lands, the reindeer gets sick, and it's up to the primary protagonist of whatever property is involved to get them back in the air to save Christmas.
Yeah. The trick is this one takes like 10 minutes and has a bunch of dumb ghost, like Three Stooges nonsense. Mm-hmm. And then the Pokemon ones, they just do it.
Yes.
They go get some fucking berries. and then Stantler comes to life and is horrifying. Just screaming with a human voice.
The noise that he makes is fucking wild. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like a Pokemon. He doesn't just say Stantler. He just moans.
Oh, man.
So this begins. Santa is urging his reindeer along. Santa is a human. It cannot be stressed enough.
Uh-huh.
He just has normal human proportions and skin and everything. Mm-hmm. Makes him look real weird in this. There's a couple little, like, I don't know if they're jokes, but these things about Santa being a little modernized. Like, he's got a little computer.
I guess.
A little dashboard computer.
Yeah, but he's still, he's got a computer, but he's still being drawn around by reindeer. We invented planes before that, before computers. You got your tech tree all mixed up, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's flying over. And Pac-Man is putting the finishing touches on some snowman versions of the ghost monsters, trying to provide Pac-Baby with some predatory practice.
Yeah. Pac-Baby's going to learn to chomp before Pac-Baby. Not before Pac-Baby learns to talk, because Pac-Baby can talk, but before Pac-Baby learns math. Pac-Baby is missing. They've lost their kid again.
Yep.
And the snowman they make comes to life.
Mm-hmm.
And looks like a regular at arcade Pac-Man rolls to go chomp them, like comes at them.
Yep.
Chomps through the snow ghost. But it turns out this is Pac-Baby suffering a frostbite.
Yeah.
Riding the tricycle inside. I didn't know the Pac. I don't know the gender of Pac-Baby.
I think that Pac-Baby's gender is just child. Is the deal. I just wrote his.
I didn't flip up the skirt.
Well, a ghost skirt gets flipped up later. Any images
of Pac-Baby that I have are purely CG. Don't.
So when Pac-Baby emerges from this fully animate snow golem of the kind of caricature of his species and starts talking in a baby voice, I'm immediately dissociated. I'm looking at myself from a security camera view. Like, oh God.
The snowman coming to life was a big moment for me in this, because something that happens with all these things that we talk about on the show a lot of times, that they're the most boring thing that I watch that month.
Mm-hmm.
Like video game adaptations, a lot of times they're pretty boring even if wild shit's happening.
Yes.
So you look away. Like, I was watching this on my computer. I wasn't looking at my phone or whatever, but I'm like, I'll glance away. And then when I look back up, there's a snow golem, and I had no idea what was happening. Like, I felt like I'd missed an entire episode.
Yep.
So Pac-Man man gets on, they get on their sled, so they're all this is done. They get off to go for a ride on their toboggan. The ghost monsters are chasing, they're just rocking in a row.
Yep.
Just towards Pac-Man. This is their plan. Essentially.
Yeah. After they do a little joke like, it's chomping time. Come to think of it, anytime's a perfect time to chomp them. God,
it's your one thing you do.
Goddamn the Smurfs for just making this acceptable in children's fiction. Well, just replace every.
They're talking about specifically chomping. They're not talking about. They're not using it as a subword.
It's but it's a subset of that exact same phenomenon, though, where just this one word can be the entirety of our shtick. Right.
Yeah. Except the weird thing is this time it means literally just eating stuff.
Yeah.
Like eating, peeling people's skin off with your teeth. It's not like, oh, I just got back from the chomping doctor. It turns out it's a chomplignant, It's not one of those things. They start chasing them and they're chasing him down a hill. He's on the sled, and then Pac-Man's like, we should speed up, and then the sled just goes faster in a way that sleds don't work.
Right. There's not an accelerator on them. And they launch off of a cliff. This will be Chekhov's cliff. The cliff's gonna come back. Mm-hmm. And
these dipshits killing his entire family.
And credits over the mangled bodies of Pac family.
Over a very sad song.
No lesson today.
They're stranded. They're fucked. They're stranded. It's a bad time for them. The ghosts corner them, and they go and they find this this thing of emergency power pellets. This entire society works on power pellets.
Mm-hmm.
And the ghost ahead of time knew they were going to do this and got rid of the power pellets.
Yeah,
which is a lot of planning for the ghost.
Yeah, they don't seem to be too capable of that kind of foresight.
Yeah. The same ghost who do the, so the Pack family start throwing snowballs at the ghost, and the ghosts are such fucking idiots mm-hmm. that they throw the power pellets back.
Yeah.
Which are shaped and look like snowballs.
It's kind of like in Dodgeball. And like in gym class, did you ever just decide, all right, well, they're only throwing the balls at us that we throw at them, so let's keep them and see if we can trick them to being defenseless?
How did you not get beat up for that kind of shit?
I don't know.
That is high level strategy for a thing that is not the game.
All you gotta do is talk to like three or four dudes and get them to do it, and then the other people on your team
make it happen. Yeah. I just, if I was the other team, I would beat you up in real life, because that's so like outside the spirit of the game and not fun. Like, that is very, the only thing that matters is winning.
Nothing, like, nothing in gym class is fun, Gary. Come on.
Dodgeball was pretty fun.
Yeah. No, like, I don't.
In terms of gym class stuff.
I know dodgeball is pretty fun, but anything entering into the context of gym class is not fun anymore. Ping pong is fun.
I mean, I hated gym class. I'm right. Just saying that if I were somebody who was playing dodgeball and the other team was like, hey, we can win by not playing.
Mm-hmm. Like, get full of war games on them.
Out of you.
Yeah. I've never had the shit beaten out of me except by Chris. So
yeah. When I say beat the shit out of you, I probably wouldn't really do that because I didn't beat up people in high school.
Right.
But I would be like, okay, I guess we're not playing.
But there would be a social cost. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have your pyrrhic victory, but it would be lonesome.
Yeah, so the ghosts throw the power pellets back at them, and then we get some chomping. Pac-Man chases after him, and he tries, you know, one of the ghosts, he has got this whole shtick planned. He pulls up one of his little tendril things, you know, the fringe at the bottom of the ghost monster, and there's a little label sewn into it, and it says, you know, like, the chomp master general says you can't chomp or you're gonna develop a chompage or something like that. And then Pac-Man says, oh, read my wording, and he opens up his
mouth. It's in my throat.
Yeah, it's way back there. Get on a flashlight, buddy.
Yeah, get inside my mouth. And the ghost does it. You know, so him having the tag, I actually chuckled at a little bit.
Yes.
I thought it was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. So he gets eaten. Then the ghosts just start pulling garbage out of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
One of them throws a fish skeleton. Has been inside his skin, mm-hmm. all this stuff, until they all get chomped. They all go inside the Pack family's mouth, willingly or unwillingly.
Oh, the assholes, Gary. So
we had to establish that, because otherwise we couldn't get right on with the plot.
No, had to remind people what this is all about. So as the eyes go flying back home, they buzz Santa and spook the reindeer, and they lose control and they crash straight into the ground near the Pack family.
It's upsetting. Like, the reindeer look legitimately in pain. Their limbs are bent the wrong way. And
they're
stuff.
All mangled. Yeah.
Yeah. It's real glory. There's a pan across the dead reindeer and Santa. It's like, really upset. Pac-Man is they come and check out the crash site. They don't know what Santa is, and they keep calling him a Martian.
Uh-huh.
He's got a red spacesuit, and it's because he has human proportions.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre. And then one of the other Pac-Men, one of the nose having class of Pac-Men, come over, and everyone's like, yeah, this is what a Martian looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, and Santa wakes up. He's never heard of Pac-Land before, which is bizarre. Yeah. So it's
well, he has gifts for him in the end.
He does have gifts for him.
It's a plot hole. Ding. Cinema's in.
And he's way behind schedule. So there are any number of cosmological problems in this. First off, we're going to get to Santa evangelizing Christmas here, and mm-hmm. doing so in that very specific way where you never mention Jesus Christ. Like, this is this is after it was acceptable in the Peanuts Christmas special to tell the Christmas story. So he's radicalizing these, you know, Pac-Men by basically being a missionary for them.
Yeah.
Is Pac-Man in our world? Did he go through some kind of gate or a thinny or something like that?
Yeah. How does he not know this exists?
Yes.
Like, because Pac-Land is pretty big. It also, so, you know, he's never heard of Pac-Land, and he tries to get the reindeer to get up, and there's a long shot of them feebly, like, scratching with their hooves, trying to get out of the snow. It's, like, really good. And they're like, okay, we'll nurse you back to health, alien, you know, since you're a Santa. They give him some power pellet cocoa, immediately addicting him.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know, everybody's got to have power pellets in this world.
Yes. Yeah. And so this is where he does the whole Christmas thing. And it's about brotherly love and warmth, etc. And then Santa realizes, oh, shit, I've been too busy getting high in here. I forgot about the bag of toys. I lost them in the crash.
It's it happens to the best of us, Santa. Uh-huh. So the pack, he also, when he's talking about the Christmas, he says the season of giving and receiving. A little crimpus nod, which I appreciate.
Yes.
Santa, you know, Pac-Man says, hey, we're going to help.
Yeah.
And this whole episode is going to be Pac-Man talking to Santa, mm-hmm. and Santa being like, it's far too late. And Pac-Man being like, no, we can do it. And that exchange happens like 10 times.
It does. Yes.
It's really weird.
I really like Santa's total despair though.
I do. Well, and also when he takes off his shoes to soak them in water, he never puts them back on for like most of the rest of the episode. So you get to see his weird feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hot. It's a weird detail. Oof. In this,
man, Santa feet. That is a trending tag. Yeah.
Yeah. Send pics.
Yeah. The ghosts put themselves back together in the mansion, and then they start conspiring. They're going to swear revenge. They want to capture Pac-Man in a net, cover him in chocolate sauce, and then chomp him, which I gotta say, they probably have tried that before and it didn't work.
They also demonstrate on one of their friends, mm-hmm. turning his clothes body into like a tattered rag.
Yes.
When they reconstitute inside a stove.
Yeah.
As well, which is really strange.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have all these plans to chomp him, and like, you don't have to make plans to do that. That's all you ever fucking do.
Right.
I hate you so much.
Mm-hmm.
You horrible, you wretched little goblins. Like, the fact that this is showing them come up with the plan to do the only verb that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Pac-Man's out with his dog Chomp Chomp trying to get the scent of the toy bag. The dog gets it and starts leading him to it. And then the ghosts show up having, you know, Chekhov's their plan.
Yeah. Yeah. They show up and they have their own sleigh for like a second.
Yeah. It just so they can have the footage of the sexy one being pulled by all the other ones. There's one of them that's like the green M&M.
Right. That was Sue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And they find the toy sack, and though they have not heard the good news, they are delighted to see all of the toys. I want to see like a pack flagellant, you know?
Sure.
Pack Pope. I want the pack Pope.
Yeah. Pack Pope would be good. I would love to see the real Pope eat a power pellet and see what kind of powers he gets.
See him go fight God. Stop bossing me around, asshole.
I might believe more if I could see the Pope.
Yes.
Get superpower and like eat a couple ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, he eats the Holy Ghost.
Ooh. I think you do that anyway with the Eucharist or some shit.
You breathe the Holy Ghost, I think.
Yeah.
Like you're constantly breathing the Holy Ghost. And it hurts for the ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not good. It doesn't feel good to be, you know, have all the oxygen sucked out of your ghost flesh.
Yeah. It hurts, but in a way that's hard to care about.
Yes. It hurts like a Cenobite way. It hurts, but the ghost is a freak.
Yep.
Yeah. So the ghosts just decide to play with the toys.
Right.
Because they have no attention span. Pac-Man comes over there, and Chomp Chomp the dog suggests, hey, let's burrow under the snow and go get him. This gets them closer, but they don't do anything with the element of surprise.
No,
they just literally tunnel over there, then get up and stay still long enough to get caught.
I think they even say like, hey, over here. And then the monsters like loom over him, they converge, and we get the dramatic commercial break
as he's about to pick up game.
The box that says game on it. Oh man, but just the drama inherent in the fade on this commercial break. I just wanted it to come back on a pack skeleton laying in the snow. Yeah.
a low Green Knight-esque pan that goes all the way around. At some point now, all of a sudden, Pac-Man thinks he can reason with the ghost, and he's also going to do this like 10 times.
Yep.
Like, he's like, you don't understand. I'm not here to engage in our usual dipshittery.
Yeah.
Like, I just want the toys. And, like, they want the toys as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know why Pac-Man thought this was going to work. While this is happening and he's talking to them, one of the ghosts opens up another ghost's pants and puts a mirror into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's real weird. Like, they have dominion over each other's clothing in a way that's like implies fluid bonding consent on behalf of the whole crew.
God, these filthy pagans. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. This pack versus the polycule. As it is.
Yeah. Some of their group dysfunction as a coherent unit makes a little bit more sense that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a brave enough ghost to spend a night in Slut Castle?
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. So they don't take the deal. Instead, they chase after him. Chomp Chomp is immediately concerned, saying you're not getting the toys, but Pac-Man says, no, go get this. So he loads up the toys in a sack, and this draws two of the ghost monsters back for like a second, but then he just hides under a tree, and then they immediately rejoin the others. There's no conservation of blocking in this. It's
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Pac-Man is undone by tripping over a rock.
Yes.
Not through anything, you know, just like a normal, you know, just plot rock. Mm-hmm. Had to knock him down. And the ghost monsters chomp him.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets real sick. They all converge on him, feed on his flesh. And when they leave, there's not any Pac-Man missing. He just looks like he looks very sad, like he has the flu.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Like, that's what happens to Pac-Man when he loses a life.
Yeah. He's just like, oh no, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And just, he's just like, he's still walking, but he's walking uneasily. It's like he just got like in a minor fender bender, you know?
He's on Red Health in Resident Evil 1. And he needs his drug.
He does. Oh God, he needs it. He's jonesing for it, baby.
Yeah. Reset his timer on when he could get his sweet fix. Chomp Chomp brings him the toys. He gets up and starts dragging him to town. You think this would be like the end of the fucking episode? Because we had a setup arc and an arc, but we have to do the same thing a few more times.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. We gotta repeat this because there's still time to go. Yeah,
it never ends. The pack, the cop. And then the like repairman of the pack universe are repairing the sleigh while Santa is reading The Night Before Christmas to the pack baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all this stuff. And there's all this shtick, like they don't have stockings up, and the pack cat immediately, you know, they don't know about Christmas, but like runs off and gets some stockings.
Yeah. Yeah. And he puts up
and then the pack mouse is, you know, nothing is stirring, not even a pack mouse. And this little pack mouse comes out and it's like, oh shit, I better go.
Yeah. The cat, Sourpuss, he puts up a small, stocking for pack baby and puts up a big one for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good cat.
Yeah. It's been years since I've gotten a stocking at my family's house, but when I got Greta, they started making stockings for the cats. Aww. The little cat trees and toys and stuff, and that's been nice.
I love a stocking.
Yeah.
They take Rudolph, Mrs. Pac-Man takes Rudolph's temperature. His temperature is okay, but his warning light is flickering.
Which just making a joke about Rudolph's nose, which like if his nose is flickering, I don't know. I would be concerned actually. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like one of the main things about Rudolph.
Yeah.
In terms of GIF potential, there's a lot of good GIF stuff in this.
Of course.
Pac-Man making his way to the town, falling off the cliff, and then him and his dog in the toy shack falling. It shows it for a couple of seconds. It looks like those Dark Souls basilisk falling animations and stuff. It's just them spinning in space for a while. It's really good.
Oh gosh, I just love that Chomp Chomp's like, oh, the town's right there, come on buddy, let's go, and then just immediately leads him over the edge of the same cliff.
Yeah,
I don't know,
they just fall out. Like the town is right there as the crow flies.
Yeah,
but it's quite a bit down.
There's a chasm, buddy.
The toys are all scattered around. It's 20 minutes to midnight, and back at the house, the Pac-Man makes it in barely alive, and the Santa's like, you know, this is not gonna, you know, we fixed up the sleigh. It has a 5-year 50,000 chomp warranty. Like, I'm not eating my sleigh, you fucking idiots. Santa's like, this is too late.
Yes.
You know, it's the first one I've missed all in history. And he breaks down as Pac-Man enjoys a pack pellet cocoa.
Yeah.
From his attentive MILF.
Just Santa sobbing, just so defeatist, like, oh no, I really screwed up. Like, you got sucked into a new dimension and like waylaid by ghosts, dude.
And then these horrible monsters nursed you back to health.
Yeah, and got
Pac,
you.
Pac baby comes up and cries in sympathy next to him, like it's an Italian funeral kind of scene.
Yeah,
it's real good.
This is basically Midsummer. He just stumbled into a society, and they just started like microdosing him on Pac pellets.
Yeah, and now he's wailing. He's just going along with it just to feel something.
Uh-huh.
You know.
So. Yeah. And Santa makes
her, has an idea at this point.
Yes, Santa makes her remark, oh, I couldn't make it all the way around the world, even if the reindeer were jet propelled. And that's what gives Pac-Man the idea.
Imagine if the show, instead of Pac pellets, they were saying like Sprite.
Yes.
You know, because it has all the cadence of, you know, the Tim and Eric Christmas special or something, where they're constantly advertising for something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they're constantly advertising for something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
it's very strange.
And so
they're driving, and here come the ghost for some reason.
Yeah.
They just knew where they'd be, and they're a blockade.
Yeah. So Pac-Man again tries to reason with them when the ghost monsters stomp them, and he explains, oh, this is the last chance to help Santa Claus save Christmas. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, we don't have that religion here.
Yeah.
Listen, we practice Chompitarianism. We're born a Chompitarian, and we'll die a Chompitarian.
Mm-hmm.
He explains the appeal to the ghost. He's like, hey, let's put away our dumb, our horrible shtick that we do, mm-hmm. and actually be good people for a little bit.
Yeah.
And it works on all of them except for Clyde, who's got a heart of stone.
Yes. And he is only convinced by the others, who are like crying at this point. He has made them see the light. There is this is a horrifying revelation to them.
Come to Jesus moment.
Yes. Yeah.
They make the compromise, like, hey, after Christmas is over, we can go back to doing the same thing we do every single day for our entire, presumably immortal lives. Yeah,
making this like that World War One Christmas truce.
Yeah, yeah. So Pac-Man leads Santa and the reindeer into Power Pellet Forest. And I got so mad at this because a lot of this plot is predicated on there being a scarcity of power pellets.
They literally grow on trees.
Yeah, in an orchard where there are more than anyone could ever eat.
Mm-hmm.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Santa's still like, this isn't gonna work, and Pac-Man's like, hey, if you drug up your reindeer on these things, they can really go. There's a difference between being hurt and being injured. If you give your star quarterback enough of this stuff, he'll still play through the pain.
Give him some quote-unquote salt pellets, you know. Just fucking juice your horse with crank and Wistrol, and boom, there they go. They run to their goddamn heart explodes.
Ride them hard and put them away wet, Santa Claus. That's the plan.
Yeah. They feed these to the curious reindeer, and they start glowing with energy, and Santa is able to take off.
Yeah, and Pac-Man neglects to mention that if they don't get one of those every day, mm-hmm. withdrawal sets in, and it's real bad.
You're under my thumb. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I just noticed on this, watching in the background while we're recording this, is that the Power Pellet Forest is guarded by a cop, and it says authorized personnel only.
Ooh.
But Pac-Man is let right in.
He's basically the mayor of this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some kind of ecology to how these pack pellets are distributed.
Yeah.
And I do not know what it is.
Yeah. It's basically a coca field.
Yes.
Yeah.
The reindeer get juiced. They mm-hmm. head on off. And when, Pac-Man and the family all wave goodbye. When they get home, there's a Christmas tree with presents in their living room.
Mm-hmm.
Santa decided to give them some gifts.
Yeah.
And the ghost monsters looking through the window, they're like, we're going to chomp. You know, we said we weren't going to chomp, but like, mm-hmm. come on, guys.
No, yeah. We're monsters. Come on.
We're the scorpion and the turtle. You know,
you knew what we were. And so they break in, and they are stopped when Pac-Man says, oh, you know, this is, you know, Christmas is for ghosts too. And he gives each of them a present. And even Clyde is stricken. He's like, oh, I have no idea what to say. And then
I've never seen a present before.
Yeah. And then little Pac baby is a little scold, says, how about you say thank you? And then everybody laughs because that is a punchline.
Signaling back, baby. I need to have die. So mad. And then again, to fill up the rest of the time, there's 5 minutes of cutouts of Marvel characters like rolling in front of Abstract City backgrounds.
Yep.
At bizarre scales. It's real. Thanks, Teodoro Diaz.
Yep.
Marvel characters and Zod from Superman. It's great.
I love it.
The sooner we get to bed, the sooner Santa Claus will come.
Wonder what'll bring this year.
Well, we'll find out in the morning.
The Pokemon special is also confusing.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being is that one of those things about Pokemon, how they don't say words.
Yep.
I'm so surprised that like kids are into this because it's so boring. Like, yeah. It's really cute. Seeing the images is really cute, but them solving problems when they don't talk.
Right. Yeah.
Is pretty obnoxious.
Discerning it all just by inflection. Yeah, I feel kind of bad that, like, you know, just watching this before school, like, way too old to do it too, like fucking middle school, man.
Yeah.
Just like forcing my parents to hear this in the next room. Like, oh god.
Or just baby noises.
Yeah, the yellow one's the leader.
Yeah. And for some reason these Pokemon have fallen on hard enough times where they fraternize with a Heracross.
Oh god.
And Heracross is a real problem.
Is that the beetle?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. So this is it's called Stantler's Little Helpers. It's part of like a mini series, Pikachu's Winter Vacation. It's like 1999. So it's right on the cusp of Pokemon Gold and Silver. And it's from that weird time after the first season or run of it where they're starting to introduce the Pokemon Silver monsters, which there are some real good ones in there, but then you get the Heracrosses and the Stantlers and stuff, right? So it is a bit of an awkward time. Like I had to look up I had to look up what a Chikorita was because I forgot what Chikorita was.
Oh yeah. Chikorita. We're getting some Silvers and stuff in here joining the crew. Togepi, Topeggy is hanging out there. Topanga.
Yes.
Topanga Lawrence is hanging out in there. it's short. It's again, it's like 7 minutes long.
Right.
With 6 minutes of credits for some reason. it's actually 9 minutes long with 3 minutes of credits, but that's still
it's still a quarter
of the volume.
It's still a very strange ratio for them to go for. Yeah. So we cut in. It's a peaceful cabin. It's all decorated for Christmas. Professor Oak has kind of lent them their little hideaway here, and everybody's getting ready for bed. Very strangely, you don't see anybody's faces. Like they do the nanny Muppet Babies on this. This is full focus on the Pokes.
When they say like, "Hey, the sooner we go to sleep, the sooner Santa will come," as they go to that. They show all of the people going to sleep. You don't have this in the notes, so I'm assuming you missed it because it's a blink if you miss it thing.
Okay.
And I was very stressed last night when I was watching this. I was doing work because I couldn't sleep, so I did all my prep. I wasn't sure if I saw this. After they're going to bed, when they cut back to Pikachu and Togepi, Pikachu is just licking Togepi's face like he's dancing, and his gigantic tongue is just waggling all over Togepi's face. I don't know why. If you're watching the video, it's at about 55 seconds, 53 seconds. It's really weird.
I mean, that's really cute when one cat does it to another. The cross species thing and the fact that Togepi's kind of an infant who is already being taken care of by Misty.
They're all kind of sentient as well. To just be licking each other's face like this vigorously.
Yeah.
Eating out Togepi's face. Like, it's fucking weird.
Don't call eating out somebody's face.
That's what I always call kissing.
He's performing oral lingus.
You go down on someone's face. You perform oral on their mouth.
You know, just doing some mutual oral, like 69. Yeah. No, mutual. No.
1-to-1, 11. Just 11-ing.
Yeah.
So they go to sleep here. They go to bed with their respective people, and then Chikorita can free itself from a Pokeball.
Yeah, all of them can.
Yeah, what is this horse shit? Where is the natural order?
That can't be allowed to stand. No.
Yeah, pulls Pikachu out of bed, and then takes his worm spot.
It's an usurper.
He's absolutely an usurper. Like, I'm the starter Pokemon now. Gold and Silver is the way. And then all the rest of the Pokemon lit themselves out, where Heracross immediately starts trying to eat Bulbasaur.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's a reason why we don't let the Pokemon out of their Pokeballs on their own.
Not at the same time. I mean, it's basically playing chicken, fox, corn, but with 151 individual things, all of which want to kill or eat each other.
It's really ridiculous.
Yeah.
I do not like how they can break out. No. They climb out the window and they see the Christmas tree outside. They're very happy. They're excited because they're, you know, children.
Yeah.
And something drops from the sky.
It's very cute. I want to reiterate, extremely cute.
Oh yeah. The images are, I mean, Pokemon are cute.
Yes.
The one of the reasons why every Pokemon clone that's ever been has always fell flat for me is that they're not cute.
Right.
Like, you know, there are people who go to bat for the Digimon, like, you know, anime as having like a cool plot and stuff.
I can believe that for a kid's anime, but I can't get into it because I don't like the monsters. Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, possibly, you know, maybe, but the monsters look like shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the things in Yu-Gi-Oh look like shit.
Yeah.
All the things in Roblox look like shit.
Well, and here's the thing. There are, you know, very rare exceptions for this, but like a Pokemon that is meant to look like dangerous and badass, that's a lame Pokemon.
Yep.
I don't care for that. Yeah.
When you're going for that kind of thing, you do it and it's kind of fun. Like that octopus that's a boxer.
Yes.
You know, that's cute and, you know, supposed to be kind of badass.
Yeah.
And but no, you know, yeah.
It's a fine line because Hitmonchan, good Pokemon. Very good design.
Good Pokemon.
Hitmonlee.
Looking.
No, Hitmonlee's son.
Neither of them would I like to have be standing in line next to them at the bank.
Right.
You know, like both of them, I'd be unnerved having them near me. The last Pokemon, Pokemon Sun and Moon, which I fell off of, I only played a little bit of, has fully integrates the Pokemon of the world. So they have all these Machamps hanging around and they guard parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I couldn't be in the same room as a fucking Machamp.
No.
No, I'd run screaming. Like, we would hunt Machamps to extinction immediately.
Oh, yeah. Without question.
Like, yeah. I cannot handle a Machamp. So anywho, these cuties, you know, fall out of the window. And they see, you know, after they see something drop in the sky. So Pikachu says, hey, come on, let's go see what that was. And it was Santa and his Stantler, who's very sick. We don't get to see a reason for it. This is just Stantler just got sick.
Yeah. he was pushing Stantler. He ran out of berries to keep Stantler in health.
Every animal needs a drug in these cartoons to keep going.
It's the exact same plot. It's ridiculous.
Except it gets accomplished in one third of the time.
Yeah.
And without repeating the same scenes 1,000 times, but also like nothing happens in it. The plot of this is Santa says, get us some berries and they do it.
Yes.
Like there's not, it's less than a single sentence plot.
Mm-hmm. And so the Pokemon agree. And Pikachu gets an idea. He grabs the star from the top of the tree, puts it on his head, and his electricity lights it up like he's Uncle Fester. And he gets it down. Bulbasaur helps him cut the star down. That is, again, the cute thing about these Pokemon cartoons is when they work together as a little team, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to own a Bulbasaur.
Oh, yeah.
But I would be tapping B button like fucking Annie Oakley when it started to evolve.
No, I can't have you get those weird lizard spots, Bulbasaur.
Yeah, you have to remain cute. If I go to sleep and you try to evolve, you're getting flushed down the toilet. I will flush an Ivysaur down the toilet like nobody's business. Like, before I own one.
Drop you off at the fucking fire station.
Yeah, they make safe harbor laws to get rid of Ivysaurs.
Drive you to Nebraska. Like,
yeah. Can you imagine accidentally waking up and having a war turtle?
Oh, man. Oh.
Like, you're the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my fucking life.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah, get out of here.
Just get the fuck out. Come on.
Very rare the Pokemon that remain cute the whole time. I'm just, you know, I have it on the background. They've got, what is it, Poliwhirl? Mm-hmm. Poliwhirl doesn't get offensive.
Right.
Which is nice.
Dragini, I think, by the time you get to a Dragonite, like that is a fun, cute, dopey looking dragon, right?
Yeah, still pretty cute. It's just very rare.
Yeah.
But if you have a Psyduck and you have this like fun little friend that lives in constant agony, and then it becomes a Golduck, like not only is it ugly, but you are in danger.
Yeah.
Because Golduck is the most menacing looking design on anything.
No, you wake up next to a Golduck, like, you know, this is an emergency. Call the police.
Yeah. Yeah. And it knows you're going to do that, so it's already cut the phone lines.
Oh, yeah. Bring me a lightning type or a ghost type. Come on. Yeah,
it's 10 moves ahead. You know, like, you can't fight a Golduck.
And to see, you just hear a voice inside your head saying, I asked you to bring me a Tylenol. I asked you, and you laughed.
Yeah, like, you said it was bad for my kidneys. I don't have kidneys.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but Psyduck, you always keep a Psyduck a Psyduck. Come on. Even if he trips and falls, rolls into a huge snowball, and eventually covers all of them. But Vulpix is there to melt them out. They're a seamless unit, this lot.
Yeah, they're a crew. So they see on this nearby mountain, they see a berry going on the cliff, so they can get it. And Pikachu decides to go and do it on his own. The wind is pushing him down. You know, he barely makes it. It blows off his star hat. But he makes it. It's very cute watching him struggle. His little tiny, like, it's fat Pikachu as well, which I love. Mm-hmm. His little determined face. Yeah. It's very good.
It's very good. But he gets it there, and he confirms it's the right kind of berry, and Bulbasaur catches him when he falls. Stantler eats all of them and gets better immediately.
Immediately starts making not a Pokemon noise, but a human moaning noise.
I'll cut it in because this
he kind of does that.
Sounds like there's going to be a Christmas after all. Thank you, Pikachu.
He is either violently thrown out his back, or has been stabbed in the gut by somebody that he trusts.
It's a really bad noise for Stantler. I've never really cared for that Stantler.
No.
And you know, this cements that
it falls too far on the, you know, the line of like the Pokemon that is just an animal, you know, like a Pidgey or a Spearow. Yeah.
Yeah. You want some synthesis.
Yes.
But not too much synthesis. You know, it's hard to make good Pokemon.
It is. Yeah. You know? Which is why the ones who are good are treasures, you know?
Yeah. You know, the fact that, you know, they're like saying like 950 Pokemon now. Mm-hmm. The fact that there's probably 200 of them that are pretty good.
Oh, it's a miracle.
You know, in terms of design is an absolute triumph.
Yeah. Not even Sanrio gets that right. And all they do is design characters.
Yeah. Yeah. So hats off, you Pokemon company.
Yeah.
This, cause Stantler now works. They're able to go.
Mm-hmm.
They head off, you know, Christmas is saved. The Pokemon chase Santa for fun. Mm-hmm. And when they wake up, they have presents.
Yeah. The star is back on top of the tree. And it is a good Christmas time. Yeah.
Yeah, they're having fun. They're each getting their gift. And it shows the gifts that they get during some of the credits.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Pizza as a gift.
Ooh.
These might be scenes from other episodes, but during some of them, they get gifts.
God.
The credits do go on forever.
Right.
And some of the credits are about Christmas. It shows them as ornaments and shit. Like the tiny puppets. La Policia.
Oh, man. And that's the Pokemon Christmas special.
Yeah. Very cute. You know, plot for babies.
Yeah. Unmistakably for children.
Yeah. You know, and in one of those ways that's like, does make it a little bit difficult. You know, it does end up becoming one of those like Ponyo things where, you know, it's good that this is 9 minutes.
Yes.
Because just a cute thing that has no conflict or drama or a plot can be rough.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is just about right. I wouldn't recommend seeking it out, but you know. I think that a lot of my affection for this also is just my affection generally for the Pokemon anime.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cute. I watched it a lot as a kid.
Yes.
You're just animals making noises.
Mm-hmm.
What the season is about.
The meaning of the season.
Yeah. Huh? If you celebrate, Merry Christmas.
Yeah. If you don't, hope you have a good winter. Please be safe. We'll be back next month.
Yeah, good winter time to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you enjoy the show, you've already done all the stuff. We appreciate your support.
Yeah. I think that's just about everything. We'll be back with something new next time. We've got a couple of things in the hopper, I think, that are going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, we'll see you then.
Umbasa.
Umbasa.